We're looking at heavy rain and strong wind potential on this WRAL weather alert day. Who could see strong storms throughout the day and into tonight?
Plus, this heavy rain could affect your evening drive. A live look at the roads from WRAL Storm Tracker. Plus, an inside look at Five on Your Side's investigation into the Poe Hall contamination. Why more than 100 people are choosing to share their story with us and the new fallout today from NC State.
Right now, it's 7 o'clock. We're taking this live look at the Dual Doppler 5000. Many of us in for a messy night. You can see all of the rain moving our way. Most of our area under that level one risk for severe storms. The brunt of this system is expected to arrive, though, in the next few hours. Thank you for joining us on this WREL Weather Alert Day. I'm Dan Hegarty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. We are tracking the chance for heavy rain, storms, and a wind advisory. We have live team coverage of this system and the impacts we're seeing so far. Let's begin with meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WREL Severe Weather Center. Kat?
My primary concern is actually once the rain clears, just how strong the winds will be overnight into tomorrow. So that's one of the main reasons why we have a WREL Weather Alert Day in effect tonight into tomorrow. The strong winds gusting to 45 miles per hour. This severe weather threat would be very isolated. At this point, it looks unlikely that we would see severe thunderstorms. It's a lot of rain that we're seeing outside right now. A little bit of a break in this region right here, but there's more rain that's going to be moving in from the west, and we'll continue to see these showers up until a cold front passes through. As this front and area of low pressure get closer, we'll see even more rain pass through. So it's really not until very early tomorrow morning that we begin to dry out. We've got several more hours to go of the rain. 9 o'clock. You can see a band of rain to our east, but more lining up to our west, and that's going to be moving in later tonight. So you can check in for an update at 11 o'clock on WRAL News with meteorologist Mike Mays. He'll be tracking rain, perhaps an isolated rumble of thunder, a small chance of a lingering shower around 7, 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, mainly north of the triangle, and then all of this activity is likely to clear out. But the winds will be an issue long after the rain clears. A wind advisory in effect for our area from 3 a.m. until noon. We could see sustained winds 20 to 25 miles per hour. And as I mentioned before, some gusts to 45. Hour by hour, the winds will be gusty tomorrow morning for the morning commute. We could see winds gusting 35 to 40 miles per hour. And it's not until late tomorrow afternoon that the winds begin to die down. We'll have a closer look at this and the change coming behind this system coming up.
Okay, Kat, thank you.
We also have some crews out on the roads keeping an eye on things for you there in the WREL Storm Tracker. Our Aaron Tom is joining us live currently in Johnston County. What kind of conditions are you seeing out there on the roads, Aaron?
So, yeah, Dan, we are dealing with steady rainfall as actually, in fact, throughout around 4 to 6 this evening. That's when we saw the heavier rainfall. I'll show you what's going on now. This is currently I-95 in Johnston County, Smithville to be exact. Everything is smooth sailing for the most part. We did see a driver that has up ahead that has hazard lights on. As far as any accidents, none to report in this area, but we have had the WREL Storm Tracker across county lines, specifically when we got down to Cumberland County, Harnett County, and right now Johnston County. That's where we saw the heavier rainfall. We did also report on the weather-related crash that happened on I-95 that caused traffic to stop for a moment, for a few minutes, but things are moving once again. So, of course, going to keep our eyes on the road, and as we monitor throughout 10 and 11, check back in. Back to you.
All right, stay safe out there. We'll talk to you again soon. Aaron Thomas in the WREL Storm Tracker. Thank you, Aaron. Of course, with the severe storm risk lasting through the night, make sure to please have the WREL News app. It allows you to stay connected with the radar and watch our team coverage of the impacts. It is free wherever you download your apps.
Today, the student charged with bringing a loaded AR-15 style rifle to NC State's campus appeared in court for the first time. WREL's Shelly Jackson was there and talked with the 19-year-old's attorney.
Adam Suleiman appeared today in person at the Wake County Justice Center. His father was also in attendance. His attorney tells me that his client is a kind young man with no criminal background. He says he is also a legal gun owner.
Today, the man accused of having a weapon on the NC State campus facing a judge.
Good afternoon, sir. You've been charged with having a gun on an educational property. You could receive 24 months in prison.
Suleiman's attorney, James Jackson, tells WREL that his client does not have a criminal background and is a lawful gun owner. He goes on to say Adam forgot the firearm was in the back of his truck when he went onto campus to work out in the gym with friends. Adam Suleiman, a student at NC State and Wake Tech, faces a felony charge for having a weapon on campus. On Sunday afternoon, an NC State student called campus police to report a rifle in an unoccupied truck. According to court documents, officers found a Palmetto State Armory PA-15 in the truck. It's a type of AR-15. It was loaded with 20 rounds of ammunition. Also in the truck, 26 rounds of 9mm ammunition, but no 9mm gun. The truck was parked on Cates Avenue on NC State's main campus in front of Owen Residence Hall. NC State students say they didn't even know what happened.
I didn't know about that until just now, so that's definitely concerning.
Something that astounds me. I had no idea that was happening.
NC State says no Wolf Alert was sent because there was no safety threat. Campus police immediately seized the gun and arrested the 19-year-old. We don't know why Suleiman had the rifle on campus. Both he and his father tell me it was a misunderstanding. Still, students say it makes them worry, especially with the shooting at UNC last September.
I'm glad somebody did say something and bring it up. Whether the circumstance of why it was in there, you don't know until you talk to the guy.
And Suleiman is expected back in court on March 4th. Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, Raleigh.
Students may finally have a normal day of classes tomorrow in Durham after schools were out again. Transportation support staff called out of work, impacting the entire district today. With 30,000 students out of school, many were also missing the meals they get during the day. Organizations including the Durham Association of Educators and Change Paths Durham partnered for food distribution. The Teachers Association says it did not plan the protests today or the ones on Friday. They plan to meet with the school board later this week. The district says all schools are planned to open and operate as usual tomorrow.
Could North Carolina Republicans revisit the state's notorious bathroom bill? Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson is once again talking about transgender people and restrooms while on the campaign trail. He's currently the front runner in the Republican primary for governor. WRL's Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie talked to experts who say it probably won't help Robinson come November.
You might remember that state lawmakers here passed several measures targeting transgender children and teens last year. So clearly it's a hot topic with a conservative base. The question is how much farther Republican lawmakers might be likely to go this year and what that could mean for the general election in November. With the primary election just 3 weeks away, Republican frontrunner Mark Robinson is regularly bringing up transgender people and restrooms at campaign events like this one in Cary.
You will be arrested.
That sounds a lot like House Bill 2, the notorious so-called bathroom bill from 2016 that regulated which restrooms transgender people could use. It provoked a huge backlash, including a boycott that cost the state billions of dollars before it was partially repealed the next year. NC State political scientist Stephen Green doesn't think state lawmakers will want to revisit that issue in an election year. He's not sure why Robinson does.
It's bad politics. You know, arguably, this could help him win the Republican primary, but he already seems in a strong position there. And, you know, looking at the general election, running as a right-wing culture warrior is not a recipe for winning statewide election as governor in North Carolina.
Meredith College political scientist David McLennan says it's just the latest example in Robinson's long track record of anti-LGBTQ statements.
He's provocative, and that gets him a lot of airtime. But on the other hand, he's going to be somewhat like Donald Trump. He's probably the greatest turnout machine that the Democrats could hope for.
Robinson's Republican primary opponents Bill Graham and Dale Falwell criticized his comments. Mark Robinson is going to lose, and he will hurt all Republican candidates up and down the ballot if he's the nominee, said Graham spokesman Alec Baltzegar. And Dale Falwell responded, Mark Robinson is history's latest example of someone rising to power through hate. I called and emailed Robinson's campaign asking for an interview or a comment. They did not respond. I also contacted legislative leaders here about their thoughts about revisiting HB2. They did not respond either. Laura Leslie, WRAL News, Raleigh.
President Biden's campaign published a new video today featuring a Raleigh family. Biden, as you probably remember, was in Raleigh last month talking about his efforts on the economy. We also saw him stop at a cookout where he got a milkshake and a few trays and brought them to eat with a local family. As the 2024 election heats up, polls show Biden in a statistical dead heat with former President Donald Trump, the likely Republican nominee. For more politics and government coverage, head to NC Capitol. That section of WRAL.com.
New fallout today for NC State amid an investigation into the Pohall contamination. Why more than 100 people are choosing to share their story with WRAL's Five on Your Side. I'm sitting down with our team next. And as we head to break, another look at downtown Raleigh on this WRAL Weather Alert Day. Kat Campbell has everything you need to know for tonight, tomorrow, and your week ahead after the break.
Her and a friend of hers who both spent their master's program in Pohall within months of each other having diagnosed with some kind of cancer.
Do right by your employees and get an independent investigation. That's all we're asking for.
More than 100 cases of cancer in people connected to NC State's Pohall were reported to WRAL's Five on Your Side in a matter of months. The now closed campus building is at the center of an investigation over toxic chemicals discovered inside. Just in the last few hours, faculty members voted they did not have confidence in some university leaders over how they've been handling this situation. Students and staff continue their calls for more testing, communication, and transparency. Let's take a closer look at the timeline of how we got here. This really all started unfolding in November of last year when the university closed Pohall after toxic chemical testing revealed PCB levels 38 times higher than what's deemed safe. Then, in the months that followed, from December to February, more than 100 students or employees at Pohall told Five on Your Side they were diagnosed with some form of cancer. That brings us to just last Thursday, NC State released a report of the PCB test results with one sample showing levels above EPA limits. WRAL's Five on Your Side team here has truly been leading the way on all of this reporting of the investigation. Our Keely Arthur and producer Pritchard Strong are joining me now to talk about the most recent developments and your extensive coverage of this story. Guys, you spoke with more than 100 people who worked at or studied at Pohall. Keely, you've told me before they were at first quite reluctant to speak with you. What changed?
Yeah, when the building closed in November, we immediately heard rumors that people had cancer, but I had names. I mean, people were giving me names, but nobody would get back to me. And this was like weeks and weeks and weeks of this. But what started to happen is the people that were not talking to me were also not getting anything from the university. And they realized they wanted to share their story or at least let somebody know, hey, I have cancer. I'm sick. I want to know what's going on. And then they started turning to us. And once we gained the trust of a few people, more and more and more came to us.
Talk about a snowball, over 100 people. It really is just profound to think about. Pritchard, I want to talk about the study that NC State has commissioned. They took more than 80 samples. One came back with EPA levels higher than what's deemed safe or EPA limits. They did that testing with the HVAC off. That seems to be a sticking point for some people.
Yeah, there's a big difference between what they did back in October and November with the original testing that showed several different places where there were high levels of PCBs within the building. And you fast forward about a month, 2 months later, when they actually did this testing in late December, only one spot was high for PCBs. But yeah, that HVAC is a really big point because the air hadn't been circulating for over a month. So anything that was coming out of the HVAC system, if that may have been the source of contaminants and PCBs, you weren't getting that airflow. The air sampling they didn't find high levels, okay. But you wouldn't expect that if the HVAC system isn't moving.
So that's the next part of their study. They're going to turn on that HVAC system and do the testing again?
Yes, they're gonna take some physical bulk samples, do a little bit more analysis, and then they're going to turn the HVAC system on and do more tests.
And I know you'll be waiting for those results. Guys, NC State has said that it did not tell federal investigators to cancel a federal investigation into this or a federal evaluation into this, even though there is documentation to the contrary. Where is the state health department in all of this? This is a state-run school.
It is. And bottom line is there's been a lot of back and forth between the CDC and NC State and who decided what. Bottom line is there is no independent human health investigation happening right now. The only investigation at Poe Hall is into the building itself, and that is being done by a consulting firm that NC State hired. That's not good enough for the 100 people that need answers and are coming to us for those answers, because they want an independent third-party investigation looking into this. DHHS, State Health Department, says that, well, we guided NC State to talk to CDC, so we're kind of not involved in this one right now.
So they're keeping hands off for now. We'll see if that continues.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for all of your work on this so far, and I know you'll keep up on it. Please keep us posted. Thanks, guys.
Governor Roy Cooper announcing today some new targets to protect and restore wetlands in the state. The governor signed an executive order setting goals to preserve 1 million acres of land and to plant 1 million urban trees and restore an additional 1 million acres by 2040. Cooper's announcement comes after actions from the U.S. Supreme Court and North Carolina legislature last year that significantly limited wetland protections, putting 2.5 million acres in the state under threat. Wetland ecosystems act like natural sponges that can absorb floodwaters and carbon dioxide.
Now this order takes on even more importance to make sure that we are protecting our wetlands so that we can protect ourselves from flooding and help us fight climate change and improve our economy.
The governor signed the order at Falls Lake, where he stressed that preserving the state's natural resources can help to clean drinking water, to protect wildlife and native plants, as well as support the hunting, fishing, and tourism economies in rural areas. Let's turn to meteorologist Kat Campbell now, keeping an eye on the radar. I was even asking you about the wind, because that's something that's going to pick up big time. I got a few things in the yard that probably need to come inside.
And you got to do that. If you have any loose ends to tie up, you got to bring them in tonight, because even cushions and light patio furniture, they're probably going to get toppled over in these wind gusts. We're talking 35 to 45 mile per hour gusts, so just make sure that you bring it all in before midnight tonight. Winds are really going to ramp up on the backside of this system, and we still are out ahead of the cold front. That's what's generating these bands of showers. We have another band pushing into the Triangle, Sanford, and the Sand Hills right now. Finally, a brief break from the rain in Fayetteville, but not for long. This is coming your way, and we'll continue to see these bands of showers as we head into tonight. 52 right now in Roxboro, 60 in the Triangle, 59 in Fayetteville, 57 in Southern Pines. Why do I bring this up? Well, the air isn't all that warm. It's not terribly warm. It's not terribly humid. There's just minimal thunderstorm energy to work with here. So we continue to think that this really is going to be more of a wind threat overnight, and that wind threat would come outside of the thunderstorm potential. It's mainly going to be rain for us, while an isolated rumble of thunder can't be ruled out. That threat has lowered significantly today. Low pressure moving closer along with a cold front that will continue to generate lift for these showers to develop. And you can check in with meteorologist Mike Mays tonight at 11 on WRAL for an update as he tracks some of these final bands of showers. On the backside of this system, we have a northeast wind wrapping around the low, and that's going to bring some pretty gusty winds between 35 and 45 miles per hour tomorrow. I do want to specifically point out tomorrow morning, we've seen a big shift south in model guidance for where that rain snow line would set up in the northeast, and that could mean a significantly different outlook in terms of a lot more snow in some major northeastern cities. So if you have travel plans, check in for an update tonight with your airline. Those snow totals are likely to continue to climb in the northeast. For us, we just have the cold wind kicking in from the northwest. It's not terribly chilly tomorrow, but we'll be in the low 60s, and then high pressure moves on in on Wednesday for Valentine's Day. The winds settle down a little bit, and we've got clear skies with us. So for Valentine's Day date night, 52 at 6 o'clock, by 8 o'clock, 45. We'll be cooling down into the 30s later that night. In Raleigh, a live look from Jimmy V's. You can see the roads are wet in downtown Raleigh. We have 100% chance of rain at 8 o'clock. That goes down to about a 50% chance by 10 o'clock tonight. Over the next 7 days, we have some ups and downs, but not a lot of rain in the forecast. Tomorrow is a WRAL weather alert day through at least noon for the wind gust potential, or wind advisory in effect from 3 a.m. to noon tomorrow. Nice and quiet for Valentine's Day, and then a warming wind kicks back in Thursday and Friday. The next chance for rain Friday night into early Saturday. Ashley and Dan.
All right. Thanks, Kat.
Something new is in the works at the North Carolina State Fairgrounds. A sneak peek at the new lunch hall and what it'll feature coming up.
So today marks 10 years since the Raleigh snowpocalypse.
It can best be described with this iconic photo capturing the chaos on Glenwood Avenue. Raleigh had never seen snow quite like this before. It later turned into sleet and then freezing rain. Nobody likes to be driving in that. People abandoned their cars. One caught fire. This picture quickly went viral, with many making various memes using the photo shortly after.
People can chuckle about it now. At the time, it was not so funny, no. Was it? No.
Exactly. All right, a new chapter is being written at the NC State Fairgrounds.
A two-story food hall is coming to that area near Dorton Arena, replacing the 70-year-old lunch stand building. So that was a little controversial. People were upset that that was closing down. But the renderings look pretty nice. This morning, the state agricultural commissioner, Steve Troxler, shared the sketch that you just saw there of the new building, what it will look like. It'll be called the Midway Event Center. Troxler says it will feature indoor and outdoor seating, as well as multiple event spaces inside, making this a good location to go to lunch or even a work gathering.
I know over the years, families and fairgoers have fond memories involving the lunch stands, and they've enjoyed a lot of great food there. It's our hope that this new facility will continue to allow those same types of memories to be made during the state fair and throughout the year.
This is part of a larger fairground improvement project that will take 3 to 4 years to complete. A specific opening date for this new food hall wasn't shared, but of course we'll let you know. So the local hospital's tiniest patients are getting an early start to celebrate Valentine's Day.
You got to take a look at these babies at Cape Fear Valley Health's NICU. A photographer captured these sweet babies of the... They're all in a kissing booth, if you can't tell. Certainly a way to brighten your spirits on this gloomy day. Oh, they're so sleepy. And celebrate love before Valentine's Day on Wednesday. Thanks for making WREL your choice for local news. We want to keep you updated on tonight's weather and severe weather risk.
Yeah, we are going to have live cut-ins and updates every half hour on WREL's News Plus. We will also cut in on WREL if there are any warnings you need to know about in the area. Until then, we'll see you on Fox 50 at 10 and back here at 11 o'clock.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.